Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. And this week's going to be a sad week because we don't have Normano doing our intro this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, but I was just going to thank him for that great intro.
Were you?
But he's working.
He's working.
He had a Sunday load.
He did have a
and
Sunday
then he
load.
Also has to take a
dump
a truck to Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's like the good joke where it's like, yes, in the morning I have a good BM at 8 o'clock and I have a good PM at 8:30. Too bad I don't wake up until 11. That's a goodie, oldie but a goodie.
That's an oldie but a goodie. You murdered it. You murderized it.
I did. I have a way of murderizing jokes, and not to take light the word murderizing. Is it like tenderizing?
That's like vaporizing.
Yeah, it's vaporizing and tenderizing.
Because I wanted to do these e-cigarettes, and I wanted to get vaped. I want to get vaporized.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
I want to have Butterfinger flavored marijuana.
Yes.
Is that what it is to have a vape, an e-cig?
No.
It's not?
No, there's no marijuana in e-smoke and vapes.
What they get? Don't they get buzz on? I'll tell you why I'm saying this.
Okay.
I watched a movie on HBO last night called Why Him? James Franco,
right.
And I don't know the other two names, but he was he played that druggy high school teacher.
Yes,
and you know what I'm talking about? The father.
Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Yes, Cranston. Breaking Bad. Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And his wife was the
girl from William
Grace.
William Grace. Yeah.
I can't think of her name either. But she said, I'm so high right now. He goes, why? She goes, I had one of these e-cigarettes, and I'm so high because I had their marijuana in these e-cigarettes. I'm like, and she goes, I've been vaporized.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Okay, so there was a piece of fake news.
No, I'm not saying it can't be true. Like, those guys put marijuana in their vape cigs. But I don't think that's intent. I don't think that's
so necessary. You go to Vape City.
Like, our local vape shop.
Yeah.
You know,
can
I know
you get pot
which
there?
You've gone there many times.
Right.
And you're like, I want the little e-cig that gives me the most steam. Because I want to not just get my nicotine like that, but I want to give myself a facial. All at the same time.
Right.
And then I get a little shot of, you know, a little shot of marijuana.
Is that true, though? Can you get marijuana in it?
No, I don't know if you can get it in Colorado.
Oh.
But in Illinois.
Okay.
And as far as I know, no, you cannot.
So then when she was saying she was getting vaporized on this movie,
yeah,
it was because they were in California.
No, I don't know for sure because it doesn't, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know, yeah. Girlfriend.
Well, because, I mean, I purchased gummy bears this weekend.
Right.
That promised me a little bit of pain relief and
right.
A little bit of a mood-altering gummy bear.
Yes. Well, and I think, have you tried it yet, the mood gummy?
No, I haven't tried it
okay.
yet.
Okay. We're going to have a party
yeah.
and have you try it. It's supposedly yeah. to take out all the fun stuff. You know, you're not going to get high.
They take all the fun stuff out?
Yeah, just a little mood altering and a little less pain.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Okay.
And I think it's so cute because it's for people over 18. That's what mm-hmm. it said. You cannot buy it unless you're over 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, then they give it to you in a gummy bear.
Yeah. Because we love our gummy bears.
Baby boomers. Like, I got to have me a gummy bear.
I mean, even my probiotic, it comes in a gummy
yes.
bear.
Yes.
My multivitamin comes in a gummy bear. My probiotic comes in a gummy bear.
Well, it was so funny because the other day I was like, oh, I really want something sweet. I go, I know, I'll have my probiotic, I'll have my multivitamin, and I'll do the chip with a B12 tracer. And I go, you know what? I no longer need something sweet.
I don't know.
My mouth, my taste buds, they're like, woohoo, I got my sweet on.
And I don't know why we call them gummy bears, because I really don't see any bears anymore. I see, like, sometimes they're carrots.
Right.
You know, sometimes
they're grapes.
And they're
not really
grapes.
Gum.
No, they're not.
But
really
they're
gum.
They're more
gummy.
Like gummy.
Gummy.
Yeah, or I like spongy bear. They're like spongy bear.
Yes, exactly.
I don't really know what kind of texture it is. It's magical engineering, I'm
yeah.
going to call that.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious.
I wish I was in that business.
Well, I would like to also take you, before the weather gets bad, to Colorado to really to try a variety of different things.
Let's do it.
To see if you would like something.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really only 10 hours away from the border.
But what if I go crazy?
Well, no, we would ask them and they would go, because what you do is you buy a brownie. And if you're somebody like me, I'm like going, I get to eat a brownie. And then they go, oh, no, no, lady, this brownie's going to last you a month. Like, well, that's just a
not really.
Why put it in a brownie then?
Yeah. If you want to last a month, put it in a lima bean.
Yes. Or a flaxseed cracker that I made.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to barely get those.
Oh, man.
Down.
That was bad news.
That was horrible.
That was a waste
news.
Of flaxseed.
It was a waste of flaxseed and parchment paper. I mean, because I
couldn't even add the smell. How do you get flaxseed to smell like dead fish? How do you do
bake
that?
Bake it at 400 degrees.
Yes, right. So easy. It was a great recipe. You're going to make crackers.
Yeah, and all you got to do is have one cracker and a day. Have your whole flaxseed equivalency.
Yeah, flaxseed, which is
equivalency.
Cool, man.
Like, yeah, so I like.
And then you rolled it out.
This is interesting. It looks like poop.
It looked like poop. And then when after it baked, it looked like fried or baked poop.
And it smelled like fish.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, is that? So basically, it's the omega-3 that smells bad.
Yeah.
When you bake omega-3. It smells bad.
Yeah.
Like fish.
Yeah.
And I say ixnay on that. And whoever said that was a good idea was wrong. and it's funny because Normano is eating those crackers.
He's still taking them to work.
He's like, I don't like putting flax in my oatmeal.
That's right.
I'm like, well, okay.
So you now
can
you
have
get
the
to have the cracker.
Yeah.
He said something funny, even though he's not here today.
Yes,
he did. Said something funny. You know, we were all having this kind of very, you know, solid discussion on Puerto Rico and the effects of Hurricane Irma and the devastation that's happening to this island, and which is an island surrounded by water. Kind of like ocean water.
Yeah. With fishies around it.
And turtles.
Yes.
But, well, because they had a sign-up sheet at work, if you want to go down, because they need truck drivers down there, because they cannot. There's plenty of things at the docks, containers.
Right. They have food and water there.
Yeah, but they have no drivers to get them there. The drivers they've left, or they can't get to the place.
Right.
So we have sign-up sheets, and if we want to go volunteer,
right?
You know, we can. So Norm said, "I'm going to go volunteer. I can." And then we decided. We said, Julie and I. Why don't they do it like in World War II? They would like parachute supplies in.
Right.
I can remember in old time movies, like they would parachute these leaflets in that was like propaganda.
Yes.
Our secret code.
Which is back then the Facebook of the day. You know.
That's right. That's right. Like the propaganda said, the food and water is waiting here at this station. And then you get there and it's like,
No. It's like, no. America loves you. And it's like, but we're not going to give you any food.
So we had this idea that we would just parachute supplies.
Or wouldn't it be
in.
Interesting, though, if it was in World War II, they'd throw out they didn't have anybody. Like, I don't know, let's say, like, I don't know any of the battles. I do know real battles in World War II.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be interesting, like, 10 years from now, we find out about the secret battle, and it's us versus the Nazis. But it was just, it was a rogue group. It was like, we were like five Americans.
Yeah.
And a tank against like 30,000, Nazis.
Yeah.
And we had nothing, but we had a shitload of pamphlets. And in the pamphlet it said, you know, you're effing surrounded by the Americans.
Yeah.
And we're pissed off.
Yeah.
We don't like you Nazis. So you got one option.
Surrender.
One option. And that is to just drop your guns, kiss your ass, and just go back home. And they're like, oh, God. But we throw them everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We give them a sense that there's as
thousands.
Many people
yes.
as are our pamphlets.
Yes.
Ah.
You know, it's
if they have this many pamphlets, oh my God, imagine what they could do to us.
Yes.
Imagine if
they
had this many tanks.
We would know about this little
skirmish
until, you know, Christopher Nolan creates a movie about it.
Got it.
You know, it would be a lot less exciting than the one he created,
Dirk Duncan. That's
which
like
I thought,
the turkey inside of the chicken.
I loved that movie, by the way.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved everything about it. But I'm just not good with, I'm going to blame it on the lime. Lyme disease has taken my ability to remember any nouns.
Yes.
And sometimes adjectives and sometimes verbs.
Exactly. And but luckily you have me here to remind you.
All the time. Like, you're saying this wrong. I'm like, okay. And luckily the Lyme disease took away my pride. Took away all the things that made me care about the world. And I'm just like, I'm just going through the motions right now.
Oh, I know you are.
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell.
You
can. Oh, I can tell.
Checkbox. You're barely your mom, remind me how the Lyme disease is taking away my soul. Thanks, Mom. You're always there for me.
Always there. I'm on your side, girlfriend. I'm on your side.
I don't know if I should say a story. But anyway, getting back to...
Dropping the pamphlets from the... But that's how we decided that we would sell... I mean, we would let these, like, water and food and sail down from parachutes, you know?
Right. And so did Dad really want to go down there?
Exactly.
Cool. So you guys are talking about this, and you're, like, he's trying to brainstorm.
I can't imagine, like, how it would be. And, he can drive a truck in his sleep, which he mostly does, and in his pajamas. Yes. You know? But it was interesting because you said if they can get to the, you were talking, and of course he must have been half asleep or whatever, but you said, if they can get to the port where all these containers are, that's, if they can just get there, you said you could, into the crowd, you would shoot the supplies with like a t-shirt gun.
Right.
To the people to give them water and food and stuff.
That was my solution.
That was your solution. And Norm was half-ass listening, and I'm sure he was tired. And he looked up just straight-faced, and he said, I guess they would appreciate a new t-shirt. I mean, I know they're starving, and they got no water, but I guess a new t-shirt would be fine. It was like, oh, Norm, no, we're not shooting t-shirts. We're shooting the supplies out of the t-shirt gun. He's like, what's a t-shirt gun?
Yeah, what's a t-shirt gun?
What's a t-shirt gun?
And then what would the t-shirt say?
I survived Hurricane Maria, and all I got was this goddamn t-shirt. They're all walking around with t-shirts. If you got this t-shirt, you got the golden ticket.
Exactly. President Trump would probably put down, I support President Trump, and if you wear this t-shirt, you get the golden ticket. That's the fast line for the food and water. Well, not to go down a darker path.
Yes.
But I will go down a darker path because
you'll go there.
I'll go there. I'm going to go there.
You'll cut a bitch.
I will.
And so will I.
Yes, you will. We'll talk about that. How another person has figured out how you will cut a bitch.
That's right.
As your slang. But so somebody I know was down in Florida during Hurricane Irma. And she was in Saratoga. That's not it.
Oh, Joey.
What's it called?
And you flew your Learjet. Novus. No, it's Sarasota.
Sarasota.
I'm just, this is my life, people.
Saratoga, what's
this
that?
This is a Lyme disease.
Toga party. Woohoo. Sarasota.
A toga party.
But anyway, she lives in Sarasota on one of the islands. And I don't know exactly how she lives, but right below her, and she lives in an apartment building, but below her is a retired nun. And somehow the family got a hold of her and said, can you please take care of our aunt, who's a retired nun?
Yeah.
And being the good old Catholic girl she was, the Catholic guilt came in like, I'll take care of the retired nun.
Yeah. So here she is, this like 40-year-old, woman with her little doggy.
Yeah.
Now she's got an 87-year-old nun she's got to hang with during the storm. So at this moment in time, she's now like handcuffed to this 87-year-old nun, and she's got to survive the hurricane with her at a shelter.
Right, because they had a mandatory.
Yeah.
I mean, she talked to me afterwards, and she kind of was giving me the whole scoop afterwards. And beforehand, it was like 2 days before Hurricane Irma hit, and they had a mandatory evacuation on her island. And so she left 2 days before the hurricane hit.
Yes.
To go to the shelter,
which is
a school with the nun.
And her doggie.
Yes. And she said it was horrible.
Yeah.
She goes, I was less afraid dying in my apartment than dying in the shelter. And they said the weirdest thing, she goes, there wasn't enough staff. Mm-hmm. And she goes, but it wasn't like there was no people there. Mm-hmm. The staff just didn't say, hey, we, if you're able bodied, mm-hmm. come with me. Mm-hmm. Or if you need a job, come with me. Mm-hmm. Because what happened was, she said, I was surprised at how many people wouldn't help other people. Mm-hmm. I needed help with my 85-year-old nun. Not that she couldn't walk herself, but because she only had a cot that was 5 inches off the ground, she couldn't get off the cot without help. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't pick her up all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed an extra hand. Mm-hmm. And she goes, it was so hard for me to find someone who was willing to help.
Right.
And she goes, all it would have had to do, and because she has her, you know, she has her PhD in organization and like
leadership
and all this stuff. Yeah. She sees the flaws in this, in the sense, like, we have able-bodied men and women in this shelter. And we've got two
they're
people from
helping.
Salvation Army
yeah,
or the Red Cross
yeah.
and they're crying in the rooms because they're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. And she told the story about this old man who went to the bathroom and fell.
Right.
And he was like, help me.
Yeah.
And people were going, I'm sorry, I had a bad back.
I can't help you. I got a bad back.
You know, can you get somebody? And they go, well, I'll just stay here until.
Right. And I always.
And
you
feel like after, you know, Houston, it was like everybody is like helping each other.
We're from Texas. We help each other. You know, we all help each other. What are we going to do all day?
Then you hear these other stories from the Florida one.
It was funny because she's not a baby boomer. She's younger than a baby boomer.
Yeah.
And she was blaming it all on the baby boomers.
She was?
Oh, she was like, those baby boomers are just a few years older than me, and they couldn't get off their ass. They're all complaining about their bad shoulders, their bad backs, got bad knees. I'm about ready to kick their butts. Yeah. And she's just like at the tail end.
Oh,
she's like,
my gosh.
Yeah, like a couple years earlier being born, she would have been a baby boomer.
Yeah.
And so, but it was interesting because
somebody else was blaming the 60s for something this week. I can't remember.
They were blaming it for... Oh, for liberalism.
Yeah. Was it? That's right. Wasn't it? They were saying like...
For basically all the controversy going on campuses because it was on Bill Maher.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know the whole thing, but basically the 60s are to blame for everything because by the...
Oh, something about like... How dare we say we want new ideas or...
Yes.
If we would have just told the party line and did what our parents did, which was do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
And we were like, hypocrites.
Yeah.
That's hypocrisy.
And now we've got everybody's ideas good, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. Mm-hmm. And so but I found it interesting because President Trump's biggest complaint has been, you know, you guys got to help yourself down there a little bit. We got to get going on this. And here's the thing. I'm going to let's take it out. But the idea that I think that there does need to be a plan in place where we go, you know, when you go on a plane, the first thing they say, hey, you're in the exit lane. Mm-hmm. Are you up for the responsibility that if this plane goes, you're going to pull the latch, the little slide comes out, and you're going to help everybody down the slide. Are you prepared for that, you know, mm-hmm. responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
And because you are prepared, we're giving you a little extra leg room.
Mm.
And like, I'm up for that responsibility. Mm. And so, you know.
Mm-hmm. You volunteer.
And so I would think like, hey, like you go, okay, if you're in this school district, this school district here is where you go for your food, your responsibilities, your ideas of clearing up this school district.
Right.
We start with school districts.
Right.
Or the church community, whatever.
Right.
But we have to cut, when you look at a country that's, I know it's not a country. I mean, it's a country, but it's the United States territory.
Mm-hmm.
So,
talk about Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I'm talking about Puerto Rico. Texas still, no.
Which is a territory.
Yeah. Now,
the Lone Star.
But it's 3 million people, right? Mm-hmm. And so it comes across as it's too big of a thing to chop off, you know. How do you take care of this? But if we segment it, and then each one of those segments has a boss
mm-hmm.
that goes, we need volunteers for this mm-hmm. and this.
Yes,
you
perfect.
Know, let's start doing this.
Yeah.
Because they had drivers waiting to go for the, so they have the food, they have the water, but they don't have any diesel fuel. They don't have any diesel fuel because they can't get the diesel fuel to the place because infrastructure is all broken down. And so you're going, oh my God, it just, it's a domino effect of the problems that, and everybody I know would love to give Puerto Rico anything.
Yeah.
You want us to go buy you $500 worth of water and ship it and send it down nearby post office?
People would love
to do
it.
That. But
you just, they just can't get it to the people.
Right. And so, and if I had a big enough, you know, a big enough t-shirt bomber, I would do it. You know, or a blimp or something.
Jewel, a blimp.
I think so. You know, or a desalinization plant, you know, or something.
Oh my God.
You know.
Now you're cooking with gas.
But we have
the blimp and the desalinization process.
Yeah, so I've got some ideas going in my head.
Yeah.
But what it, to me, what I realize is that when shit goes down like this, the worst place to be is in big cities. Because you know, the ratio of people helping to people in need is pretty
off. Well, I can remember Norm's mom saying that she, you know, she grew up during the Great Depression, but she grew up rural.
Yeah.
And of course she said she didn't even know there was a Great Depression. Yeah. It never, they didn't have much to eat, no matter what time of the year it was.
They were farmers.
Yeah.
Whatever they ate, they grew or they killed.
Yeah.
Or they had, like, you know.
Yeah.
Doug's mom grew up in the Depression as well, or like near the end, I think. But they didn't have much. And she just said, "When as soon as I had enough money, and I said I would never eat chicken again and I would never have eggs because that is all we ate was chicken and eggs.
Wow.
Because they could afford that. They could afford a ton of chicken.
Right.
And they could, they would just walk on their property and, you know, whatever chicken is eat. Yeah. And lay an egg. And so, and we've talked about this. It's like, if you could have a dairy cow and some good hens making, you can make an omelet, a quiche. You grow a little bit of vegetables in your garden, and you're
vegetable
living
omelet.
Yeah, vegetable omelet. If you knew how to turn milk into cheese, which I'm just not sure how that works. That's like magic to me.
Yeah, and I was thinking about turning that milk into butter. How does that work?
I know how to do that.
You do?
Yes, because of that one commercial.
The Geico?
Where the guy left his phone and the doctor leaves a phone.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes,
oh, yeah.
And he goes, oh, so you want to make butter.
Yeah. Yes, you're going to get better. Oh, butter.
How to make butter.
How to make butter.
Yeah. You put like 2/3 cup of heavy cream in a jar and you shake like crazy until it turns into butter.
Mm.
It'll turn first into whipped cream. And yeah, keep shaking. Because, you know, like on CHOP, they always complain, like, well, this ice cream, you let it go just a little too long.
And it came butter.
And it came butter.
Yeah.
So you got, so this glorious thing called milk.
Yeah.
It goes from milk to cream, cream to a whipping cream, and ice cream to butter.
Yeah.
And then the sour cream's in there somewhere, and so is cream cheese.
Oh, come on.
And then regular cheese.
That's my favorite.
I don't know how.
All we need is a cow then.
And I don't know how, though, to get from the milk to the cheese part. You got to add an enzyme of some sort.
Oh.
But I don't know where you get that enzyme.
And you told me the other day.
What did I tell you?
That you have to bake cheese.
Well, because
I was so surprised to hear that.
Well, because I guess you got to pasteurize it is probably better. But I could be wrong on that. I'm not a cheese baker.
And I wouldn't know what pasteurized means.
Did I not say it right?
Why? No. Pasteurize.
Now I don't know if I'm saying it
you
right.
You are.
Okay.
Past your eyes.
They've gone past my eyes.
Yeah.
I know. It's so sad. Well,
at what point did it become, did it pass your eyes and become from cream to butter?
I don't know. But, you know, can I just tell you something really quick? Well, I think this is so funny because you just tooted. But what was funny about it, you put the mic really far away. Like, I don't think we would have heard it anyway. But you made the funniest face. I'm going to toot. But you verbalize it with your mouth. You go, I'm going to toot. But without saying it, I'm tooting. And then you took the mic and you put it really far away. And I'm like, okay, girlfriend, I'm going to call you out on that one.
You really did. Man, you're busting my balls today.
I thought it was so cute. You know, it was a very sweet moment we had.
All right. You know, okay.
We all toot. Come on. Who doesn't toot? Even though Martha Stewart on national TV
said she doesn't.
She says she doesn't toot. And I call you
called
BS.
You called her on that.
I call BS because if it ain't coming out that way, it's coming out some other way.
I'll tell you why you called BS, because she brought some food that night.
She said, I don't eat beans. And then she brought pasta fazzoli without the pasta, just a lot of white beans.
Just fazzoli.
Yeah, just fazzoli, the beans.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just said you don't eat beans.
And you just said you don't toot.
And you don't toot. So I call BS on that.
Yeah.
So in her reality, because she gets to call reality whatever she wants.
Oh, well, it's like somebody else we know.
Yes, exactly. Who's that? I don't know. But she does. So that's just one interesting fact. Mm-hmm. And Seth MacFarlane, is that his name from Family Guy?
Yeah.
He was on with her.
And Orville.
And he goes, oh, come on. You fart. Because I guess he put her in Family Guy, a little vignette or a little scene, which is, if you've seen Family Guy, you know it's just there's a very thin plot line with a lot of little
vignettes
that you're like, where did he come up with that idea? Mm-hmm.
And it was a walrus or an otter,
more like a manatee.
Manatees, that's right. The manatees are all sitting around,
coming up with great ideas,
and they just write them down on 3x5 note cards and then pick one up.
Yep, exactly. And you know, and it was her making a dinner and everybody leaving, and then she goes, oh, thank God, and then farts really loud.
You know, speaking of Family Guy, you were telling me, this was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, an episode of Modern Family that you saw that was hilarious.
Okay, you love this joke.
Yeah.
This scene from Family Guy.
You told me about it. I didn't see it.
I will tell
you. Oh, Family Guy?
No, it was from Modern Family.
Modern Family, yeah.
Yes. It is a good scene. So Cam, who is partners with, I can't think of the other guy's name.
I can't either. The redhead, right?
Yeah.
They have a little girl.
They have a little girl. But anyway, he does the musicals and he's a music teacher at the junior high or high school.
Right.
I think junior high. And they're doing a production. And, the end result is they're singing,
We Are the World?
I Love the World.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I Love the World. That was supposed to be the end result. And they were going to do it by putting up, every student had a letter that spelled out, I love the world, or we love the world.
Mm-hmm.
Except that the L was missing. Mm-hmm. So it says, we love the word. We love the word. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, all right, bravo.
Bravo.
It's a public school, but why not? We love the word. And then all of a sudden they realize, oh, no, we've done this work to our school emblem. And he goes, where is our school emblem at? Come on, get in the middle, get in where you're supposed to be. And he gets in the wrong position. And it's the letter F. And it spells out, we love the F word. And I guess it's supposed to say, we love the F world, like for our mascot, which is like the ferocious tiger or something like that. And in that brief moment, I thought, that took a lot of skill to plan this joke out.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hysterical.
It was good.
Yes.
To match these little kids. It wasn't as good as the first time you told me, but love the F word. These little kids out there.
We love the F word.
You know, you've mentioned another thing, too. And I don't even know if this is even a funny story, but you were telling me about Butters, right? On
South Park.
Yes. And the porn video.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yes.
I can't remember it now, but was it parents? They
No, it's very interesting. Well, I'll bring this into something more topical, because we heard on last night on Saturday Night Live that sexually transmitted diseases have gone up a lot in 2006.
A lot. Even though you're not supposed to say STD.
It's STI.
STI.
It's your sexually transmitted infection.
Yeah.
Because that's less judgy.
Yeah. And, you know, a disease is, you know, something's horrible, but everybody has the STI.
Well, and it's so weird.
And if you don't, then you were a loser.
Yes. That's the thing I don't get. Because in a sex positive world, basically, if you're not, like, into, like, orgies on the first date, you're, like, sex shaming people.
Yeah.
It's like, no, dude, I just don't know you. I don't want to share bodily fluids with strangers. Is that wrong?
I don't want to get double-barreled pink eye.
Yeah, I don't want to get
on my first date.
Exactly. And so, And we were watching The Housewives, and The Housewives, they were having this discussion how they were all saying, oh, yes, I have HPV. I have the human papilloma.
No, I have HPV.
No, I have HPV. Yeah. I've had it since I was 17.
Yeah. Did you? Did you know?
Yeah. Did you know, mother?
Commercial?
Yes.
His little kid's 8 years old. Did you know?
Yeah. Did you know?
Did you know that I would grow up and just like screw around when I was like 15? Did you know? And you could have vaccinated me.
See, I think that I was grown up.
That's parent shaming.
Yes, exactly.
See, I believe
it's okay to parent shame.
I think it's okay to scare the shit out of your children.
I think you should. I think you deny them the whole truth.
Yes.
I mean,
the nose falling off.
Well, I mean, the HPV virus is a pretty interesting little virus here.
Yeah.
And by the way, implemented by the big pharma so that they can give you drugs and possibly a vaccine, and they would love to vaccinate all 200 million of us.
Yes.
You know.
With a little thing we can, they can keep tabs of us.
Exactly.
Where's so-and-so at?
All a big pharma problem.
Oh, yeah.
But, or not a problem. It's a big pharma solution. But so
find the solution first, then create the problem.
Oh, it reverse engineer.
Hello.
Like, okay, I'm a pharmaceutical company.
I'm not the first person that's thought that.
I know, and I need to make $1 billion this year. What can we do?
Yeah.
Well, if somehow we can get these sex-crazed teens to screw around a lot more, and I can give them an HPV virus,
yeah,
and it'll spread like wildfires, yeah. And then just by chance, we have a vaccination for
it. Just by chance, we have a commercial that takes these little kids and looks at it right in the screen. Did you know, Mama?
Yeah, did you know, Mama?
Did you know, Daddy?
Did you know? Like,
you're like, oh.
I told you not to screw around, so yes, I did know. What more do you want from me? I told you everything. I told you about VD and syphilis and gonorrhea and HPV.
And working at a gas station?
And you still chose to screw around. So, kid, what can I do? I mean, I tried to take your phone away, but that didn't seem to work. I mean, come on. There's only so much a parent can do for the love of God.
Did you know, Julie? Did you know?
Well, I'm wondering what's going to happen now that a marketing company is going to probably come with another commercial geared at like people my age.
Yeah.
And it'll be like for their parents. Like, did you know that the assisted living that your parents were in was going to be so, so horrible? did you know that you should have had, you bought insurance?
Possibly.
Yeah. You should have bought insurance for this a long time ago. It's going to bleed you dry. Did you know? Did you know, little baby boomer? And I'm like, oh, screw you guys. Yes, we all knew. We're just rolling the dice on our lives.
That's right. We're just buying the gummy bears.
Exactly. Can you overdose on gummy bears with the thing in it? I don't know if you can or not, but it would be interesting to think about it.
Yes, it would be interesting.
Once again, Mom moved the microphone away.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. Did you know why? Did you know? Last night, which I watched this morning because I did a run. Okay, so Normano's doing the truck. I'm doing my thing at home. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's been called into service for his company that he gets to go, like, Norm, we need you. We are inundated with loads, and it'll all eventually go to Puerto Rico. So we've got to do our part.
That's right.
And he's like, I guess I'll work all weekend long. And I go, you know what, Normano, I'm feeling better with my Lyme disease, and I'll take a load for you. But I'm only going to drive in the middle of the night because I want least amount of traffic, and I'm going to be, you know, and so forth. And I got this, so I went out in the middle of the night last night.
Yes.
And did a load. And it took me twice as long as Dad.
Exactly.
I had to call 15 million times because I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Everything's crazy. Yeah. And one of the experiences I had talking about, I had a sex positive experience on the road. Yeah,
really?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yes, I miss those times because, you know, being a female truck driver, sometimes you get to those situations where, you know, guys feel the need to be sex positive with you. I know. So,
can I ask you a question? Yeah. I understand the word sex positive. But what does it really mean? In the old days, what did it mean?
Because the old days,
like it's a new term, right?
Yes, new term.
They're sex positive, And it, you only can define it by being sex negative or sex
shamed.
Got it.
Yes. Well, from what I understand, and this could totally be not true, because mm-hmm. I feel I'm sex positive. Mm-hmm. I have a very healthy relationship with sex. I know the good, I know the bad, and I know exactly where I stand with it. I don't feel shame about it at all. I don't want to shame you. I don't want you to shame me. But, dude, come on. So I'm driving, and driving in my truck, you know, listen to WGN, the radio. Mm-hmm. And another semi guy comes by me, slows down. I'm like, oh, what's guy doing? He was trying to pass me so much. Now mm-hmm. he's slowing down right next to me. Mm-hmm. Lighting the cab on, and he's jerking off.
What?
I don't see much because, uh-huh. you know, it's not, you know, but I see him do mimicking.
No.
And then he goes a little bit. Then he.
Did he know you were a girl? Does he know you're a girl at this point?
Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing he knows I'm a girl, mm-hmm. but it could be wrong. He could have thought I was a guy.
He could be the gay truck driver.
Well, it could be anybody. I don't think exhibitionists, got to get my terms correct. I don't think they care. Mm-hmm. For all I know, as long as they thought I was, you know, older than 21, because mm-hmm. I'm driving a truck, mm-hmm. it's safe. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was under 18, he could go to jail.
Ah.
But if I'm older than 21, which I'm driving a truck, he goes, I think I could get away with this. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm about 95% sure that that's what he's doing.
Okay.
Because he was mimicking it.
Right.
The movement,
right?
And why would you slow down? Next
and why would
to
you
me?
Have your interior
and why cab have your interior
on.
Light on?
Yeah,
and so I at my corner of my eye, I can see what's going down because he's not in my Lyme disease blind spot. That's a little bit further to the right, so he's there.
And what time is it about?
Two-ish.
Whoa.
Three-ish.
Okay.
3 in the morning.
Okay.
3 on a Sunday morning, God's day, right? And I just thought
be
to
working.
Myself. Yeah, I'm just not going to give him the attention.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to turn my head.
No.
I'm just driving, singing a song, mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. just singing.
A lot big, but I cannot lie.
Or like, I think I was singing, Jesus Christ, Superstar. I don't know what I was singing. Lots of show tunes.
Right.
I was singing. And then yesterday I had a thought. Like, why are Bible stories so good for Broadway?
Yeah.
You know, Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, that was an awesome Broadway show. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm guessing that was the story from the Bible. They mentioned Jesus Christ in it. You know? So
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that happened. That was, and it kind of got my
blood.
Did he
do anything when he passed you, or did he?
Just slowed down, mm-hmm. mimicked it. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't give him any attention. Mm-hmm. And then he kept going. Because the one thing I did learn from Dan Savage was, mm-hmm. if you don't want to get them to continue doing the behavior, mm-hmm. just ignore it because
ignore
they can't. They don't get off on it. Then
right.
if they're, you
yeah.
know, ignore
yeah.
if you're there being ignored.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if I could have ignored it, but yes, that's a good idea.
You would have been like, "Yeah, here's my, I'm mimicking the okay, good job, dude. However, you guys stay awake and keep your mind on the road. You go.
Do it, you do it, sir.
You do it, sir. Congratulations. You know." But like I'm not saying I'm definitely, you know. So I thought that was very interesting. Say the say the. What did you eat today? Okay, so anyway, I feel so. This morning I wake up and you're like, let's watch Ryan Gosling on Saturday Night Live because you missed it. You called us 24/7 all night long,
yeah.
but you missed this. And the one thing I noticed was that he was breaking the third wall a lot by laughing.
Yes.
And I think that's, we're doing exactly the same thing today.
Yes, we are. We're showing what it looks like for the man behind the curtain.
Woo, exactly. Man behind the curtain and so forth. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I also, last
You started
night,
talking about the STDs, though. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I just, this whole thing about, and it was about something you had said. Oh, about South Park.
Yeah.
So talking about South Park and that episode. Now, this is an old episode because it was about, because they're usually very relevant. And this was about Lord of the Rings. And Precious.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's either Stan's, I think it's Stan's parents. I could be wrong. Or the other dude's parents. Can't remember his name now. But they had, they were going to have a little lovemaking that married couples do using a porno video. And, but to keep their kids busy, they gave them Lord of the Rings. And then, but they were going to, they sent it the Lord of the Rings to go watch this at your neighbor's house. They haven't mm-hmm. seen it yet. Mm-hmm. Go watch it with Butters. And they're like, is this a quest? You go, this is a quest. Mm-hmm. Take Lord of the Rings and go to Butters' house and watch it. Mm-hmm. And what they realize is that they gave the kids the porn because they were now watching Lord of the Rings. They're like, oh no, what are we going to do? So they had to go to the Butters' parents and, you know, and say like, hey, we by mistake gave your child porn, all this stuff.
In the meantime, Butters is watching what he thinks is Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And Butters is like 2 years old or 3 years old or four.
I don't know what their age in South Park is.
Yeah.
I don't.
But not, Butters is little.
Well, yes, he is little.
He's young.
Let's say they're all in third grade. Mm-hmm. They're not yet puberty, but they kind of like they kind of like girls a little bit, mm-hmm. just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Butters starts to feel these things like, whoa. And then he gets like really obsessed with this tape mm-hmm. because the other boys take off and they don't watch the tape with him, so they don't know what Butters is watching. Mm-hmm. And the parents see the other kids and say, I'm giving you another quest. Go back and get that tape and bring it to me without watching it, and you will be rewarded greatly. They're like,
not oh, precious.
Like, so they grab it and they get it from away from Butters, and they're like, Butters, what are you doing? We want to, this tape belongs to my parents, and we're on a quest to take it back. No, don't take my precious. And he goes, well, you can come with us, but you got to act out everything that you saw in the movie. And so the first thing he did was he jumped one of the other boys and started dry humping him. And he's like, get off me, dude. What are you doing? Get off me, dude. And that goes back to the point where we are very, very suggestible. You know? I remember last week we talked about how Ben Shapiro mm-hmm. was talking about on Joe Rogan's show that mostly you can relate the change in people's beliefs by the idea that we are just so suggestible on what's good behavior and what's not good mm-hmm. behavior. And I thought to myself, if little Butters hadn't seen that porn, he really wouldn't be, you know, dry humping Dan. He would be dry humping Dan. You know, so there's my story.
Okay.
I went all the way around the world.
You did. There. You did, girlfriend.
I would like to go to a little movie review because I have something to say about it as well.
Yes, yes.
You have a movie review.
I mentioned it already.
Yes, but did you mention it was good or bad?
Why him?
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had zero expectation. I came across it by accident.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I enjoyed it because it was, you know, it
did
was.
Did meet your criteria for a Saturday night movie?
It was very, very short. Okay. And I enjoyed James Franco mm-hmm. and he did a good job in this. And it was a really cute movie, you know, and he's like one of these kids that are like tech geniuses, you know? Okay. And the girl he falls in love with, her father is Bryan Cranston, and he is a self-made man. He has a company. He has a paper company, and it's going down. He's going to have to lay people off or maybe even close down. Uh-huh. And so basically what you see is this schism, you know, between, you know, like James Franco has a house where there are no paper or pens. And he goes, well, what do you do when you need to write something down? He goes, I just tell, you know, Julia, whatever. Yeah. And it's this, you know, he calls it the lady that lives in the ceiling, you know, and she goes, what's the number? And, you know, or she records everything they say or whatever. And so there really is this really interesting, you know, schism between the two. And you realize, like, you know, the guy is like emotionally stunted.
Right.
He really, these kids are like, they understand tech. And like he said, I'm kind of down in my bank account. I only have $197 million left, you know. And they go, oh, no, you know, you need a fundraiser, yeah. Fund me. And they, you know, and they don't, the parents don't even understand this kind of money. Because they've, you know, worked so hard and it's tangible. They don't understand how something that you can't see or touch or anything can make so much money. And so they did it well.
Oh, know, good. Did they?
They did it well.
And yeah. It seems like they got all the stereotypes right.
Perfect. Yeah.
Which, because if you're not in that world, it seems so crazy. And it seems greedy in a big way, but they live so simplistic. Yeah. It's sort of, I think Jeff Lewis mentioned this on Bravo one time. He mm-hmm. said, millennials are so weird. The rich ones are so weird because they have all this money and they want basically nothing in their house.
Right.
You know, some windows for a great view.
Yeah, they want windows. Yeah.
Everything.
And everything is like computer.
Yes, that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's all I want. That's all I need. But I do want it all in my bank account or in Bitcoin or whatever.
Right.
You know, I don't care if I can take it out or not, but I do want it. You know, I want it there. Yeah.
And the idea that they're emotionally stunted. They don't understand. You know, like Bryan Cranston said something like, oh, you know, I understand. He goes, but, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And James Franco goes, whoa.
No, he did not do that.
Oh, please. You invented that. Whoa, that's such deep, profound wisdom. You know, it's like, he's like, you've never heard this before? Whoa, what does not kill me makes me, oh, my God. No.
Well, I only
Then he goes, he's talking to another one, and he goes, you know, but listen, you know, he goes, look, that's just life. That's just life. Whoa.
This is life?
That's life.
That's life.
Like, that's life.
That's life.
Yeah. Whoa. Yes. That's profound.
That's so
it's
profound.
Like they're just, you know, they're hungry because they don't, they're
right.
just hungry for like some kind of connection,
right.
emotional. They don't have it. They don't have that.
No. Interesting. And in...
remember in the commercial for like the fluid jeans?
Yes.
It said, you know, God forbid you know what sex I am in my jeans. And so we now have a Unifly. So yes. You unzip it down and
right.
down and around and up your ass and stuff.
So it's like one unit.
One big long zipper. You'll never know.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because you probably didn't know I was going to want to talk about that. That was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And it was one reason why I wanted you to talk about the review. So you're going to get like 4 shipper hats out of 5 or 3
oh,
out of 4.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good. It was
because
good.
It was short, it was sweet, you know, and nice eye candy.
Well, because what they did, I was only watching it for 4 or 5 minutes before I left.
Yeah.
And what I did was I came to a scene where they were talking about some jargon that I had no idea what it meant.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it meant like you get... Jesus money.
Overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah. He thought it meant that Bill, or the father thought it meant being overwhelmed.
Yes.
But really what it meant was a sexual term to basically have a lot of
jism
on your face.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I watched Saturday Night Live this morning, you know, and they used the term woke, W-O-K-E,
yeah,
in
that's
regards
woke.
To these pants. And so I binged it right now because mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm curious what that means. Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just realized again what YOLO means.
Yeah.
YOLO, you only live once.
Yeah.
YOLO. Yeah. That's my new motto.
Go out
now.
There and
YOLO.
Have unprotected sex because
YOLO. And I go, I only live once, so I'm going to YOLO this and not have sex with you. But please. See, this is the thing. You've always told us. Yeah, if you grew up with an alcoholic parent, you have two choices. Typically, you could say, I'm an alcoholic because of my parent,
mm-hmm.
or I stay away from it because of my parent.
That's right.
You never typically goes, I'm a moderate drinker. You know,
it's because of your parents.
Either way, it's because of your parents. I go, so I choose to look at sex as like, yeah, I stay away from it because you only live once, and I don't want to die that way. But anyway, woke
mm-hmm.
is the definition is past of wake. It is the past of wake. But then you go to the Urban Dictionary.
Which is what we're looking
yes.
at.
Ali is so woke. At brunch, she explained how wearing anything other than Chuck Taylor's or Tom's is really a microaggression. He did you get... Wait, I don't know. I don't know what woke means. Okay, here we go. Woke from the Urban Dictionary. A state of perceived intellectual superiority one gains by reading the Huffington Post.
You mean HuffPo.
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
Because Doug reads HuffPo. Oh my God.
No wonder he thinks his shit don't stink.
He does.
Oh my God.
So Ali, I guess it's Ali, is so woke. At brunch, she explained how wearing anything other than Chuck Taylor's or Tom's is a real microaggression. Did you get your Amy Schumer tickets yet? Oh, I get it. Okay. So in the commercial on Night Live, they said these jeans are woke. So how can jeans be superiorly intellectual by reading Huffington Post?
No,
but they're basically pretentious.
Yes.
And those are pretentious jeans.
Yes.
I think they had this commercial because there's a commercial going on right now that we don't understand.
Yeah.
It's for H&M.
Right.
And it talks about, it's a which, great little which catchy is song. Like
hetero or metro?
Yeah, metro. Hetero it's, or metro,
it's,
I don't know.
It's a commercial where you don't know. If they're saying they're men. They look like women.
And they sure look.
Yeah.
Even if I don't have a job, I'm still a man.
Yeah.
But it's a really catchy tune.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of these women singing this song. I think they're women. And you I don't. Go, you I think don't. They're trans. They're, I think you they're, think they're.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if they're transgendered.
No, they're just dressing as women that day.
They're just dressing as women that day.
Yeah. And that's what I believe.
Because they all had the skinniest little hips.
Yeah.
I mean, they all looked really like model type.
I saw another one. You missed it because we were, going through the commercials. And there's this, it's a female, but short hair, jeans and stuff. And she's singing in her head, I like the way you make me feel, I like the way you make me feel. Mm-hmm. It's for a phone.
Right.
And she finally meets up with the person who she likes the way they make me feel. And I'm saying she, but I don't know.
Right.
And I don't know with the person that she meets up with is either male or female either.
Right, right.
So there's so just
they're
like
both big pansexual. Questions. They're all just pansexuals.
That's true.
I'm not even sure it's fluid's the right word. I have no idea.
No.
But that song is like, I am a man. Wait, man, I am a man. No job or job. Job or not job. You can't tell me that I'm not. Something like that. But isn't it a catchy tune?
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute.
And I love that commercial because all these women are like kicking ass, taking names. And I'm like, then you go, I think they're all guys. Or, no, I think they're all non-gender.
I think we're not supposed to know or care.
Or care.
Not even to be so cool as to not even care or even think that we even might care.
Right.
Or wonder.
Right.
We're not even supposed to wonder.
But see, here's the thing. I do want people to think I'm a woman, and I want men not to treat me the way they treat men.
That's true.
Because I've been privy to some men's conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy cow. I'm glad I'm pretty much like
leave me out of that combo.
Yeah, hey, you're kind of crossing the line here a little bit. I'm pretty cool and laid back, but now I'm to the point where just keep it for the.
I just need to take a shower now.
Yeah, now I'm feeling a little bit icky. You know, what you gonna do about it? So, there's something else I want to talk about, but now I can't remember.
You were kind of heading some direction.
I was. I haven't told you this yet.
Mm-hmm. You were saving it for the show.
I was saving it for the show. I'm going to end on a sad note or a bad note or just like a not so funny note.
Just don't judge it.
Yes. I think I told you last night, you asked me how, or this morning or whenever I came back, and mm-hmm. you said, how was your load? And the way you said it was very, judgy. Like, because you have called me and it took you so effing long. And now, Normano has to go out and do one and it's going to take him all day.
Julie, the only thing I was like, first of all, we didn't get any sleep because you called a million times.
Which you said I could do.
Which I said you could do. Of course I said that.
Yes.
And then a normal 5-hour run.
Right.
Started from 7 p.m. and you got home at 5:30.
Right.
That's all I was saying.
But I didn't leave the house until 8. And I went and dig fuel first, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's beside the point.
Right.
The point I wanted to make was, I can really tell that my eyes are worse.
Oh, really?
Since my Lyme disease. I had a hard time. I have always had great vision.
100%.
Beautiful vision. Far away, up close.
Yeah. And I mean, we used to call her Eagle Eyes.
And I could tell, like, in the last year, I've had to move my phone a little bit further to get, but I could always read it.
Right.
But since my Lyme disease, my optic nerve issues,
right,
which, you know, I'm still having to deal with, I couldn't read anything in the truck. I couldn't read the like, my dashboard. Uh-huh. Like, you know, I none of the words were clear to me. And I'm like,
is it in the dark, you mean? Like,
no, I had the light on inside.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't, you know, I'm like, you know, just like lights, all this stuff. I mean, I knew where everything was,
right,
but none of the words were clear.
Right.
I had to look at the map once, and I go, what? The map is, I couldn't read the map.
That's crazy.
I like, not so
much. Do you wish you would have brought glasses along? Or?
Oh, I'm going to have to bring glasses along. Yeah. Because at this stage of the game, at this moment, literally my vision, I can no longer rely on as being 20/20. Right. I felt content with my distance, but I did notice the lights kind of played a reflective. And I know when you have, when your optic nerves are swollen, sometimes the colors fade a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I could feel that a little bit, but it was very surprising to me.
Wow. How you didn't count on that.
I did not count on that one bit. Yeah. And I was like, I hope Dad's got some bifocals in here somewhere.
Did he?
I didn't look because I mean, I couldn't.
Didn't see Luke.
I just literally called Dad. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's going on. I can't see my map. And where's the airport is road at? Mm-hmm. And he goes, you're getting close. I'm like, great. I'm on the right track. And so, but it really was a little nerve-wracking
for
me.
I'm so sorry.
Me too. I
can't
really
even believe
shocked
that.
By that.
I can't believe
it.
And
it made my trip disappointing.
Yeah.
That little tick has taken a lot from me. I'm really pissed at him.
Yeah.
But I'll get it all back.
You think so?
I'm having faith.
Yeah.
And I know you don't have faith in me.
No, I have faith in you. Yes. I have faith that you can do this no matter what. Do you know
of
what
course,
I mean?
100%.
That I remember you said, Mom, even if I had to stay at this, you know,
right,
range, I could survive my life.
And what I'm feeling, though, is that I wonder if I'm getting worse. That's the thing I'm wondering. Because I'm noticing that my near vision, like just 2 months ago, I could have it just a little bit further away. Mm-hmm. Now, literally, I have very few distance I can even read on my right eye. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is really weird how fast it's going.
Oh, no.
And so I don't know if it is, but my optic nerves will heal and maybe my vision will come back. But even if it doesn't, I'm still okay. I can use bifocals and, you know, and reading glasses. And it's just that for a girl that 2 months ago didn't have to use this.
Right.
I'm shocked by it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm wondering if there's something we need to do before your next appointment, like schedule a closer appointment because it's another 6 weeks or 6 months. Or,
6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what he would do.
I don't either.
Yeah. So he's not totally concerned, and nor am I. So there it is. I mean, I'm just concerned in a way, like, what can I do about it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's my ophthalmologist / neurologist. I'm assuming he's trained.
Well, he's the one that said, oh, you know, I don't have to see you for 6 weeks. I mean, you're not going to go blind in 6 weeks.
Wait, what? You told me that earlier. I might go blind in 6 weeks. Yeah. So that was my only disappointing news for the whole trip.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in that.
I'm disappointed, too, and concerned.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
I don't know. I mean, oh, it was great.
It was great. It was great.